broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
They were giving me alcohol at home first in small doses.
These hordes of Asian people that UCLA...
Please make sure that you hear an advisory.
Ching chong ling long ting tong.
She's going to hell, this bitch.
Yeah! World famous Phil Hendrick show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This bitch is a news talk and information show that knows what it's talking about. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. And we go places other talk shows can only dream of going every night here. The world-famous Phil Hendrick Show. Visit us online at philhendrickshow.com. Right now, there is a live streaming video of our show you could watch. It is in HD. And I would say to you that we provide the finest quality video feed that you could possibly see with a multi-camera approach to our craft, a multi-camera approach to the video cast. And the reason why we do this is because we want you to have the very best. So there's some folks that might not have internet speed that really optimizes this high-definition experience. And I would heartily recommend that you somehow find a provider that gives you the kind of speed, access to the internet that you would need to enjoy our high-def video feed every night. Phil TV in high definition. So please do look into that, because occasionally we'll get an email, right, bud?
Yeah, sort of like a guy emailed the other day. He goes, well, I heard about it, but it's jerky and everything.
Yeah, that's what I hear, too.
Sometimes it'll be kind of herky-jerky, and that's because you may need a little more speed there. But we would rather have the really crystal-clear, beautiful picture that we provide and the wide screen that we provide, so it's something that will be sort of waiting there for you when you get to get some kind of internet access that's going to allow the speed required for this picture. So go to our website, philhendrickshow.com, get a backstage pass. Not only do you have the video cast, you also have a podcast each and every day of our radio show that is delivered to your device. You can get it through iTunes. You can sign up for the podcast at our website and have it delivered via iTunes or our website. You can get our classic fills. Those are free of charge. You have all of those archives, thousands of hours, and there's a news feed. There is commenting on the news feed that only Backstage Pass members get to do. There is direct email access to me that only Backstage Pass members get to do, because I don't respond to any other email. There is no other way of having contact with me other than through this show. You just go to philhendrickshow.com, and not to mention at our shop, they're best of CDs. These are our legacy classic best of CDs. Get them while they're hot, baby, and get them while they still exist, because they will be gone. And then, of course, our shot glasses, and we've got more merchandise coming up for the summertime, so it'll be really awesome. All right, thanks for joining us. And by the way, our great sponsor, Dynapep. Dynapep sponsoring the world-famous Phil Hendrick Show each and every night. Get your Dynapep at any 7-Eleven store. It is the micro-energy shot that's the official micro-energy shot of this show.
You got like three of them tonight, right?
Yeah. You should tell everybody.
I did take my third. I had a couple earlier in the show. I've taken my third micro-energy shot. And let me tell you all about it. Just 4 milliliters, less than a teaspoon. There's no sugar. There is no crash. There are no jitters. It's just 2 calories, and Dynapep micro-energy shots get you through the night focused and alert and keep you going when you've been up all night. Dynapep lasts up to 10 hours with 10 times the power. Get it today, Dynapep. And if you are looking on our video cast tonight, I'll go over to camera 3. There is Buddy Bear in the Green Bay Packer uniform with his Dynapep.
Yeah.
So, Buddy, that's the same pack, Buddy. You going to take that, or is that a new pack? All right. So here we have a couple of stories having to do with our good friends, and I say good friends, I mean our good friends and our fellow travelers on this spaceship Earth, as Buckminster Fuller used to say here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots.
He said on Radio 4 Patriot by...
No, he did not. F. Buckminster Fuller ain't even around anymore.
That sounds like a guy in a Laurel and Hardy movie.
What?
Sound like a guy in a Laurel and Hardy movie.
Sounds like a guy in a Laurel and Hardy movie, F. Buckminster Fuller?
Yeah.
Well, it ain't. Now then.
Well, who was he?
I don't know. He's a guy that said we're all travelers on the spaceship Earth. He's a famous guy. Having said that, we've got a couple of stories here. People cleaning up the mess they left behind them. Either they're cleaning it up or we're having to come behind them with a mop and try to get it cleaned up. Alexandra Wallace, you remember her? We talked about her last night. She's the UCLA student who ranted against Asians on a YouTube video. It's amazing. In this day and age of YouTube and in this day and age of the Internet, we are seeing a lot of everything. It seems like we see a lot of dumb, right? Do we see a lot of brilliance? Well, I don't know. There's probably an argument to be made that we don't see as much brilliance as we do dumb. But one of the things that we are seeing the real weak links in the chain. We're seeing some of the species' lesser viable selections. I mean, we're seeing people that aren't quite, you know, they don't have all the neurons firing. We've got guys that are committing crimes and putting it on a YouTube and they're sticking it on the Internet. And the next thing you know, the cops are at their door and they're saying, gee, I wonder how that happened. Well, you broke the law and put it on a YouTube video, man. The hell do you think is going to happen? We have got people who are making these racist rants and these ridiculous comments. And then people say that you're a douchebag and I don't have nothing to do with you. And I go, gee, what happened to all my friends? I have no idea. And we look and we go, you must be about as stupid as the day is long. You didn't understand that that would have any... Well, I didn't know. I mean, I'm really sorry. By the way, folks, is there any apology you hear these days that you buy?
Not me, man.
Nah, everybody apologize. I don't believe it.
I don't either. There's not an apology that I hear that I believe is sincere anymore. The latest, the straw that broke the camel's back for me was this guy Gottfried. One day after saying, hey, they must be real Gilbert Gottfried fans because it's F them if they can't take a joke. And now he's apologizing and he really cares for the people of Japan and his hearts and his minds and his soul and his and everything goes out to the people of Japan. Whatever, dude. Who was the last one? You know, Jace, if you could comprise a list, because it seems like in the last 12-month period, we've had at least five or six or seven people that have said something asinine that they then apologize for, and the apologies, one after the other, become less sincere and less sincere until it's finally the one last night from that, what's her name?
Poindexter.
Yeah.
It wasn't Poindexter, it was Pondexter.
Yeah.
Well, that apology, I mean, are you kidding? I really, really am sorry, and I didn't mean it, and I just wanted to say in my film, oh gosh, I love Japanese. Right. But, I mean, it just doesn't end. Now we have this woman, Alexandra Wallace. Now, she isn't anybody famous. She's a student who got on YouTube and started talking about the Japanese and how they're this and how they're that and how they're something else. Sure, we like a Japanese joke as much as the next guy, but there is a time and a place. In her YouTube rant, here is Alexandra Wallace, in case you missed it. She mocks Asians who use their cell phones in the library.
In America, we do not talk on our cell phones in the library. Uh-huh. Every 5 minutes, I will be, okay, not 5 minutes, say like 15 minutes. Uh-huh. I'll be like deep into my studying, into my political science theories and arguments and all that stuff.
Getting that you don't understand.
Around, typing away furiously, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, when I'm about to like reach an epiphany... Yeah. Over here from somewhere. Oh! Ching chong ling long ting tong? Oh! Are you freaking kidding me? In the middle of finals week.
Bleeping retarded.
Ching chong ling long ting tong?
Booty is worse than butt.
All right, so then we have Wallace complaining that Asians at UCLA aren't polite, unlike her.
These hordes of Asian people that
hordes.
UCLA accepts into our school.
Genghis Khan and his crew.
Which is fine, but... If you're going to come to UCLA, then use American manners.
Oh, I dig. Okay.
A-hole.
Right. Then finally, no, not finally. I was hoping finally, not finally. Wallace continues her rant on Asians who use their cell phones in the library.
I swear they're going through their whole families just checking on everybody from the tsunami thing.
A-hole.
I mean, I know. Okay, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, I know.
People affected by the tsunami.
Of course, sure, yeah.
But if you're going to go call your address book, like, you might as well go outside, because if something is wrong, you might really freak out if you're in the library and everybody's quiet. Like, you seriously should go outside if you're going
to bring out the hoe.
And then finally, Wallace is annoyed that Asians at UCLA aren't able to live without the help of their relatives.
All the Asian people that live in all the apartments around me,
yeah,
their moms and their brothers and their sisters and
really?
Their grandmas and their grandpas and their cousins and everybody that they know that they brought along from Asia with them comes here on the weekends to do their laundry, buy their groceries, and cook their food for the week.
Right.
It's seriously without fail. You will always see old Asian people running around this apartment complex every weekend. That's what they do. They don't teach their kids to fend for themselves.
Are you gay?
Yeah. Well, you know, Andrea or Alexander or whoever the hell you are, that's kind of how they do it in Asia. The families are, they stick together, you know. It's kind of an admirable thing. I don't know. Maybe you're not really getting that, but families are cool, and if they help each other, wow, that actually leads to a stronger society, because the family unit, the basic nuclear unit of any society, is what we need and what we have less and less of in this here world, you slut. So anyway, here's what happened to Alexandra Wallace, a junior there, a political science major. She has been getting some threats. She received numerous phone messages and emails. According to school spokesman Phil Hampton, police are investigating to determine whether a crime was committed by her ridiculous rap. I don't think anything was any crime was committed. As a matter of fact, our research department, Jason Rantz, our producer, looked into whether or not Andrea Wallace, with her asinine screed there, her video screed, violated any law at all. And we will get into that when we return from our break. But in the meantime, she was the subject of some harassment. She did apologize for the video in a letter to the school's Daily Bruin newspaper on Monday. Clearly, the original video posted by me was inappropriate. I cannot explain what possessed me to approach the subject as I did. If I could undo it, I would. I'd like to offer my apology to the entire UCLA campus. For those who cannot find it within them to accept my apology, I understand. Chancellor Block said in a statement, "I am appalled by the thoughtlessness and hurtful comments of a UCLA student posted on YouTube. I believe that speech that expresses intolerance toward any group of people is indefensible and has no place at UCLA. She's a real dumb bitch. I hate women." Chancellor Block. All right, so...
You say that?
No, he didn't say that. All right, so we'll be back here with a defense of her free speech rights, even though it really ain't about that, is it? It's just, she's just a dumbass. Anyway, more on this UCLA student, plus who the hell is Rebecca Black, and why has she been the number one trending topic on Twitter? We'll find out. PhilHendryShow.com.
For Patriots,
we'll be right back.
By Patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. If you're on our video feed, we have a split screen going right now. We're looking at a news story out of Algeria, actually. This is Algeria, ready for revolution as a headline, but they were just showing, who was that, Robert?
It's Gaddafi, man. He's not going around his tent.
He does have a tent.
Yeah, that's right. He had on his fez, and he had on his green robe, and he was going around his green tent high-fiving everyone because they're kicking ass. And I'll tell you, the Libya situation here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots brings up something very, very telling. Very, very telling indeed. Libya brings up this situation. Iran brings up this situation. If it ain't the right kind of revolution, my goodness, Twitter, just don't get behind it. Now do it.
That's a good point, man.
Good point. Boy, they're all over that Egypt thing, man. Now, I will say this about Iran. Everybody was on Iran big time. It was a beautiful thing. And Egypt is fine. Egypt is fine. But, you know, tell me that there wasn't a decided difference between the Egyptian revolution and the green wave of Iran. I mean, the Iranian revolution, it was violent. And when I say revolution, it was a stillborn. It was an insurgency that was put down violently. It was crushed violently. People were murdered by the Ahmadinejad regime. And you know what it's all about. Nobody with any intelligence is fooled by that guy's horse dung. I mean, it was a murderous repression, a murderous cracking down on that insurgency. But we saw with the Iranian revolution, the Iranian insurgency, we saw women, lots of women. But it seemed as if it was led by women. You know, every time I looked at a YouTube video, there were women all over the place in the videos there, in the crowds, leading many of the marches, leading many of the chants. That beautiful poem that was spoken by that young lady on the rooftop. Remember that? That was unbelievable. And then the Egyptian revolution, it looked like it was just an uprising of the gutter. Just looked like the gutter. You know, I understand that it was a legitimate claim by the Egyptian people for a democratic future. I get it. I think it's a wonderful statement. But there was no real intellectual organization there. After a while, it looks like it was co-opted by the Mubarak thugs and whatever scum from the alleyways of Cairo, Mubarak or whoever could recruit to manhandle, rape, and otherwise humiliate women and foreigners. And it was just embarrassing. And then you have Libya. Not a freaking peep from anybody in the West. Those people are fighting for their lives over there. There's not a word from any. Sure as hell, Michael Moore didn't say anything, is he? Now, I understand that Michael Moore is all about Madison, Wisconsin. I get that. But he was also all about Cairo, man. He was all over Cairo.
Yeah, I seen his tweets about Cairo and stuff.
Yeah. So don't tell me that Michael Moore's he's paying attention to Madison, fat ass. I mean, he's paying attention to Madison only because he won't get winded going there. If he tried walking to Madison, he wouldn't get winded.
Yeah, if he tried to walk to Cairo, he'd drown.
Well, do you think he'd drown?
Yeah, because he got to walk across the ocean.
He ain't going to walk across the ocean, man. We get it, you know.
He's going to be on a boat, bud, but the point is...
Well, yeah.
Not about Libya, man. So, you know, I really find what has happened in the Middle East and how the American people are responding to it. We're responding to it like a bunch of lemmings. Whatever button is pushed, if the right button is pushed, we all jump like Pavlovian dogs. You know, if our favorite celebrity is calling us to arms, then all of a sudden we're in favor of this revolution. Or we're in favor of that revolution. And if it's just a Twitter revolution, well, what the hell, man? You don't have to break a sweat doing that. So if, let's say, fat ass there in Flint says, let's all get up in arms about Madison, which, you know, I support the governor of Wisconsin 8,000,000%. Public union, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. If you had any kind of community sense, any kind of, we talk about patriotism, if you had any kind of a patriotic sense at all, you'd recognize, my God, our lives are made through the good offices of our employers, the people of the state of Wisconsin, the people of this country. We're a public union. We're paid by the taxpayers. They're having a hard time. Maybe we can actually be civilized about this. Hell no. Bunch of children. So anyway, the only point I was trying to make was that there is in this country, whether we're on the side of Egyptians or Iranians or whether we're on the side of Iraqis, we've never been on the side of the Iraqis, never. The only people that are fighting for those Iraqis are the greatest Americans we have, our military. Those are the greatest Americans we've got, and they're thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away. The greatest Americans that we have are over in Iraq and Afghanistan right now, taking the heat. Helping the Afghani people, helping the Iraqi people, trying to do their part in actually building, I mean, really, not just with their big fat mouths, but doing something to help secure whatever freedoms we can for those people. You know, and over here in the States, well, I mean, if our favorite celebrity is on it, man, we're all over Algeria, Libya, Egypt, well, who knows, who cares, whatever. You know, make sure that you color your Twitter avatar green. Remember that?
Yeah, well, you did.
No, I didn't.
I think you did.
No, I did not. I did not fall for that. Put my avatar and make it green bullcrap. Now, what the hell is this?
That's the Gaza Strip, and there's a protest going on.
There's a protest going in the Gaza Strip right now, and I'll bet you anything it's against Hezbollah. Or maybe I think the people have asked for Hezbollah to disarm. There's a lot going on, man. A lot going on in this world, and not all of it is as predicted. We're going to take a break. Should parents let their teens drink alcohol at home? A growing number of parents support it. Plus, an NFL player compares the NFL to modern-day slavery. And plus, we will get into this argument as to Alexandra Wallace, the jackball that did that whole anti-Asian rap. And I know she's dumb, but is she a lawbreaker? Probably not. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Come on!
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Marching into the future here. And tonight, as we wrap up in the final two segments, our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. Don't forget to visit us online at philhendryshow.com. Just a very quick story that I asked my producer, Jason Rantz, to pick up for me, and this having to do with the Gaza Strip. There are protests ongoing in the Gaza Strip, and there's something going on in the Middle East that I don't know if you're paying attention to it or not, but the people of the Middle East seem to have more of a problem with their leaders than they do with Israel, for a change. And that is huge. That's a huge, huge change. It used to be all about Israel hurting the poor Palestinians, and now all of a sudden, the Palestinians are saying, we want an end to this Hamas and Fatah schism. We want an end to all of this horse dung. We want you people to start leading. And look at this. Hamas, in all of their beneficence, has said, yes, we'll let the protest take place. You guys are way behind the ball on what's happening on the what used to be called Arab Street. Hamas policemen used force on Tuesday evening to disperse hundreds of protesters who'd gathered in a public square to demand an end to the Hamas-Fatah dispute. They said that policemen in civilian clothes beat the protesters with clubs and destroyed tents they'd set up in the Katiba Square west of Gaza City. They're not being beaten up by Israelis. They're being beaten up by Palestinian cops. Several journalists who were covering the demonstration were also beaten by the policemen, and some had their cameras confiscated. The Hamas government in Gaza had earlier vowed to allow the demonstrations to take place, saying it supported calls for unity. The demonstration was one of several by Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza calling for Palestinian unity. This is not about Israel. This is what is going on in the Middle East, whether it's Persian or Arab. They're taking a look at their actual leadership. They're not saying all of our problems are going to be solved if we can get rid of the Jews. They're not saying all of our problems would be solved if the meddling Americans weren't here. They're not saying any of that. They're not saying any of those things that so many of our fine, educated, liberal friends just only wish they'd keep saying, because they got a lot invested in that line of rhetoric, don't they? They've got a lot invested in that line of rhetoric. Well, it's not happening. Not anymore. The protests are the largest of their kind in many years. They're part of a campaign organized by several Palestinian political factions and youth groups inspired by the current wave of popular uprisings in a number of Arab countries, some of the organizers using Facebook. The demonstrations chanted slogans such as, O Abbas, O Haniyeh, we want national unity. The people want an end to division, one flag, not two flags.
What did he say? One what?
Flag.
Oh.
And this follows on the heels of demonstrations in Lebanon asking for Hezbollah to be disarmed. Disarmed. Not that Hezbollah is going to go quiet. You know that they're not going to, because they've never been about the Arab street. They've never been about anything. They're a bunch of Persians anyway. Oh, yeah, I know they're Palestinians, but they're all trained by Iranians. And the Iranian power, which is the Islamic Republic, all they want is to keep people focused on the so-called Zionists, on the Jews. The minute all of that focus goes away and they are suddenly talking about the leadership in Iran at the Islamic Republic, Wow. The heat is on, baby. The heat is on. All right. So having said all of that, I wanted to get back to our good friend Alexandra Wallace. Now, here is this dumb bitch who was talking there at UCLA about all the Asians. And she's getting death threats. And the chancellor says she's a moron. And, yeah, everybody agrees. She was not very funny. She wasn't very interesting. She's all in a heap, man. She's a wreck, this chick. She has not got it together at all. Other than the fact that she did get off this cutie, like, where is it?
My long teen tall.
There you go. That's funny. Alexandra Wallace making her comments. Now, can Wallace be published for her speech? A California law prohibits punishing students for protected speech. Prohibits it.
Ching Chong Ling Long Ting Tong.
UCLA, as well as all schools, public and private, is subject to California Education Code 94367, also known as Leonard Law.
Ching Chong Ling Long Ting Tong.
Named after its author, Bob Smith. No, Bill Leonard.
Who's Bob Smith?
Nobody. I made it up.
That's a Smith Law.
It would be the Smith Law if there was such a guy, but there ain't.
Well, there probably is a guy named Bob Smith. Pretty common name.
Yeah, there probably is a guy named Bob Smith, but not the purposes that we're using here. All right, it reads, no private post-secondary educational institution shall make or enforce a rule subjecting a student to disciplinary sanctions solely on the basis of conduct, that is, speech or other communication that, when engaged in outside the campus or facility of a private post-secondary institution, is protected from governmental restriction by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution or Section 2, Article 1 of the California Constitution, to wit,
Ching Chong Ling Long Ting Tong.
The only exception to this rule are private post-secondary educational institutions that are controlled by a religious organization. Even a private school that is not controlled by a religious organization may not prohibit the exercise of free speech. The Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, FIRE, wrote a letter to Block today urging the school not to punish Wallace because she engaged in protected speech. They reject the idea that that video may be a form of harassment. They write, in order for something to qualify as peer-on-peer harassment on a college campus, it has to be, among other things, action that is so severe, pervasive, and objectively offensive, and that so undermines and detracts from the victim's educational experience that the victim students are effectively denied equal access to an institution's resources and opportunities. All right. Basically, what that means is, I mean, it really is hindering.
Or you mean it's hindering.
Yeah, it's hampering and hindering. No, it's hampering their ability to get an education because she said,
Ching Chong Ling Long Ting Tong.
And that's going to keep their everything from happening. The relatives to come into town to do the cooking, et cetera, and so on and so forth. Now, if you were saying, for instance,
Chris Matthews
is a closet homosexual,
that might be bad. So there is simply no way that this video meets that definition. What is said in the video is not particularly severe, as she couches her language in a number of ways and even apologizes at the beginning for not being politically correct. It wasn't pervasive either. The video appears to have been originally intended for the amusement of Wallace's friends and only became widespread after the controversy began and it was reposted by others. It's also easy to avoid seeing the video simply by not searching for it on YouTube or clicking on links to it. Whether or not is it objectively offensive is a matter for debate, but at that point, it doesn't matter. In order to be harassment, the video must meet all of these criteria. So, Alexandra Wallace is just an idiot. And, you know, I mean, to say of Alexandra Wallace, wow, you know, she was really like heaviosity over there, man. She's got some hairy and heavy things to say, is to give her the credit of having some kind of a brain up there, man. She sounded like a jackball to me.
Yeah, I don't think she's smart.
Meanwhile, Rebecca Black is the latest internet sensation with the worst song and the worst lyrics ever. Over 7 million YouTube hits and the number one Twitter trend since Friday. Her name is Rebecca Black. People have been ripping her latest song, Friday. They think it's the video, they say, just sucks on wheels. Here's an excerpt from Friday by Rebecca Black, who has been viewed on YouTube almost 3 million times since its release on Friday. Yeah.
Gender day was Thursday. Today, yeah, it's
Like Rebecca Black. So chilling in the front.
I think that's fantastic.
Are you kidding? That's the horriblest thing that I ever heard.
That was great.
No, man, that's Teeny Bop.
It might be Teeny Bop, but it's fantastic. Of course it's Teeny Bop. That's a cool song. I can see why it has created the, I mean, I'm not going to go buy it, but I'm saying if I'm a 14-year-old girl, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, what are you talking about? I mean, did you see a video?
Oh, the video, whatever. No video could be so bad that you're getting 3 million hits. Now, people are saying the reason why everybody's accessing this, hitting on this, is because it sucks. No, man, that ain't why. It sucks for a lot of people, and it's fantastic for a lot of other people. Here's how it happened. Black released her debut video Friday via YouTube, of course, on Friday, and surprisingly, it secured a Bieber-like audience with more than 2.5 million views over the weekend. It has since hit over 7 million views as of Tuesday evening. You don't get that kind of action on anything unless there is a lot of people who like it, too. In other words, what makes it a hit is not because it is universally loathed. It's because people's emotions are split on it.
Yeah, I see what you mean. A lot of little kiddies probably like that one.
Yeah, I can. Like I said, if I'm a 13-year-old chick, man, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. And I'm a 58-year-old guy, and I can sort of see why that would appeal to a little kid. She's a 13-year-old girl herself, you know.
She don't sound like, sounds like she's all grown up. They probably used something on her voice.
What do you mean all grown up? Let me listen to this. Partying, 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 partying. Yeah, she could be in her 20s. She could be in her 30s.
She could be in her 40s.
She could be in her 40s. Was Thursday, Thursday. Yeah, she could. Today, yeah, it's Friday, Friday. We so oh, come on, man. You know, sure, if you're an adult, you don't dig it. So what else is new? What else is new? How many times do we have to be reminded of the fact we're old and we're getting older and we don't like young kids? You know, we don't like youth music. No adult does. You know, quit trying to hold on to your hip. Sooner or later, it's going to happen to you. You could be in your 30s right now, your 40s. It doesn't matter. Quit trying to hold on, because sooner or later, your grousing about music is going to turn from your good taste in music to somebody's just going to say, you know what, you're too old to understand it. That's what happens.
What do you mean?
You go from, you know, criticizing music and saying, oh, that's not as good as this, or that's not as good as that. And finally, you just sound like some old man bitching about new music. You don't sound like an aficionado of good music anymore. Now, am I going to go buy that? I ain't going to buy it. But I appreciate that song from there's no way. And as soon as I heard the song, I realized, okay, I can see how a lot of people think it sucks. I also see why a lot of people would like it. Is this the worst music video ever? Asks Gawker. Why would you ask a question like that? The San Francisco Chronicle asks, is this the worst song ever? Are you kidding? Comedy Central's popular Tosh.o blog posted it under the headline, Songwriting Isn't for Everyone. Billboard called the song straight out of auto-tuned hell. Rolling Stone called it an unintentional parody of modern pop. I'm telling you, that's a 13-year-old girl who knows better than all these old men what she likes to sing, how she likes to sing it, and what her audience is going to like. Partying, 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 partying.
Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend. Are you gay?
Thursday. All right, enough. I'm going to bleed from the nose on that thing.
Aha! So you don't think it's all that good?
I didn't say I thought it was fantastic. I just said, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon, the rest of you guys. Oh, that's a really weird song ever. I mean, can you imagine that? Hi, yeah. What do you think of the Spice Girls? They suck. Well, I would think you'd say that. You're a 38-year-old guy. But if they were like, if, you know, we're talking about like a girl that's 15 or 16, she probably thinks they're great. Well, girls that are 15 or 16 don't know good music. What does that mean, man? Like, they don't appreciate Stevie Ray Vaughan? I don't know if that means they don't appreciate good music. I mean, that's good music. But then again, there's a lot of good music I don't appreciate.
Like what? Tell me a good music what you don't appreciate.
You listen to, like, classical music?
Do I listen to what?
Do you listen to classical music?
Do I listen to classical music? Oh, boy. No. No, I got into the opera thing, man, with Pavarotti and those cats, you know?
Yeah, I remember that.
But other than that, no, I don't. But I'll tell you something. When I do find myself alighting on a classical music channel, oft times I stay there and I enjoy the sound of the, you know, whatever the hell they call it. All right, we'll be right back with our final segment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, philhendryshow.com for all of your comedy needs.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And here's the headline of this story. Should parents let their teens drink at home? Yeah! Yeah! Obviously, no. By the way, we had a discussion off air. You know, it's hysterical how some people don't get it. Is this the worst song ever? Look, the people that produced and recorded and wrote that song are not expecting Phil Hendry or Jason Rantz or the guys from Rolling Stone or anybody from Gawker to buy it. They're not expecting a bunch of 30-something, 40-something, 50-something guys. Who are they expecting? People like this.
Ching Chong Ling Long.
I'm kidding. No, they're expecting like 13-year-old girls. So they don't give a damn what we think of that song. And for us to say it's the worst song ever, they probably saw us coming a mile off. Oh, yeah, they're not going to like this song. But what do we care? Should parents let their teens drink at home? Well, some parents believe that allowing their teens to have an occasional beer or a glass of wine makes alcohol less taboo and therefore less enticing to those under 21. Others think that giving drinks to teens at home is dangerous, teaches the wrong lesson, and may lead to addiction problems later on. As many as 700,000 kids, ages 12 to 14, or 6% of those in that age group, said they drank in the past month in a recent report conducted by the Federal Substance Abuse and blah, 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 blah. 45% of those kids said they got the alcohol for free at home. 16% said it came directly from a parent or guardian. The poll didn't ask for details about how much alcohol they consumed or with what teacher they drank. I mean, in what situation they had the drink. One father, Terry Moran, told the Today Show on NBC that he won't let his kids drink alcohol until they're legal, according to the Today Show. I'm glad they put that there because I wasn't sure.
Yeah, just because he's on the Today Show don't mean that Today Show say that he was on it.
Yeah, okay. What are you on? Anyway, here is the Today Show on NBC speaking to these college students who said they got the first taste of alcohol at home as teens. Oh, wait. At home as teens.
They were giving you alcohol at home first in small doses. Be like a glass of wine here, maybe a beer
sure.
or dinner or
of
something
course.
Like that.
I think in my house it was always kind of a more socially acceptable thing you start drinking at home when you're younger.
Well, it taught me responsibility for the most part.
Ching Chong Ling Long Ting Tong.
And now here is Ann Shokat, editor-in-chief of 17 Magazine. She cites a poll that says kids who drink at home have better relationships with their parents and get laid, I mean, no.
You know what's really surprising? We did a poll. 25% of 17 readers say that their parents let them drink at home. But what they're learning is not necessarily how to drink. What they're learning is trust. They say that it's amazing that their parents trust them to behave responsibly in the house and when they're out of
but
the
are
house.
There a-hole?
All right, here is Janet Taylor, a psychiatrist, says talk to your kids about booze, just don't give it to them.
Well, you know, I think we're really talking about parents supplying alcohol where you throw your kids in the basement, take the keys and give them booze, which
right.
in my opinion is not the right thing to do, versus sitting down
do.
And really discussing clear rules with your child, what your expectations are, and letting them know you're going to monitor their activities.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Doc. So did we learn anything?
No.
Thank you. Adrian Peterson, NFL like modern-day slavery. I know, Adrian. Just when you thought the rancor between the NFL and players had peaked, along comes some uneducated jackball named Adrian Peterson who spent 1 year out of the game. Wasn't he the guy that was working in the pharmacy? No, it was somebody else. In a wide-ranging interview with Yahoo! Sports, the star Minnesota Viking running back compared the league's labor situation to slavery. It's modern-day slavery, you know, Peterson said. People kind of laugh at that, But there are people working at regular jobs who get treated the same way too. With all the money, the owners are trying to get a different percentage and bring in more money. Yeah. How is that like modern day slavery? I just watched
Amistad.
Yeah, I just watched Amistad. I wasn't sure whether that was slavery or not because the movie was that bad. But nonetheless, I could pretty much see the difference between Amistad and these cats chained to the bilge of some stinking, reeking Spanish slave ship and a guy running a football for the Minnesota Vikings. Come on!
Ching chong ling long ting tong.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Rick Johnson. Of course, our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Sorry, Rick. World-famous Phil Henry Show online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Thank you. God bless.
Phil Henry.
Almost as big as me.